And that's Don from BBS Radio, and he came in just as I said, don't take yourself too seriously. And
yeah, Don, noticed that.
Don goes the opposite end. He should be a little more serious. But, you know what? Everyone in their own time. And Terry is not here yet. Are you here, Terry? Now, I heard her in the background say yes through the walls, but I didn't hear her on the phone. That
I'm
means
here.
She's... Is that you, Terry?
That means I was muted.
Oh, yeah, well, you know what? I'm not going to make fun of you. You know what I'm saying? I'm never going to tell everybody that you have such trouble with your mute button on your phone. Did
yeah.
You guys see the picture? Did you guys see the picture I sent out today with Terry? Of Terry?
No. No.
Yes.
Yeah, it was very nice.
A really good picture, okay? And Terry looks so beautiful, she hardly looks like a space case. Okay?
I'm going to have to take a look at that. I don't know what picture you're talking about.
So, in any case, some people don't like this repartee, okay? Some people think this should be really more formal. And it would be okay. I don't mind it being formal. It's just that I have learned that in our case, in the way we relate to our sources, it's like they really enjoy us having camaraderie with each other. And, you know, Jesus said that. He said, treat your neighbor as yourself. You know, when they said, how do you get to God? How do we get to God? He said, love your neighbor. And I know that's true. I understand it. I understand it at a deep level because each of us is an expression of all that is. And if we can't love the expression that's next to us, how are we going to love the expression that's in some other dimension that's invisible, okay? I mean, you can do it. I mean, I'm not saying you can't do that. You can do it. And it's more challenging to love the expression of all that is that's next to you. It's more challenging because maybe they didn't brush their teeth or maybe they have all these qualities. They happen to be horny and they're kind of chasing you all the time. There's an expression of all that is that's horny and chasing me. You find fault with them because they don't measure up. But that is the challenge of judge not lest ye shall be judged. And on some level, if you're doing that, if you go through those kinds of thoughts in your mind, then at least try to revise it in the moment. Mm-hmm. Revise it and say, okay, I'm doing that. I can't help it, but it's not the best way to do it. And if you keep observing it, it'll go away, okay? But on the other hand, if you start thinking you're superior to other people, you're more beautiful, you're more intelligent, or whatever, then you are truly separating yourself from the people around you, which will translate into being separated from all that is, okay? And from your own divinity, because every one of us is screwed up in this realm. It just goes with the territory. And, I mean, I like Jesus because he said so many things that are just so accurate. And this is not a Christian official organization, even though we have Terry Friedman showing up and we have Carla Ruckert showing up. But Jesus said, before you take the splinter out of someone else's eye. Anyone know how that finishes?
Out of your own eye.
Take the beam that's out of your own
eye.
Take the log out of your own eye, right?
Yeah.
And so that's Jesus talking about finding fault with other people. Because we all got something wrong with us. So what, you know? I mean, I used to think I had to be perfect before I could do anything like this.
Hi, and Morgan in California.
Now, Morgan.
Yes, Don.
Morgan, We were just talking about you. Are you perfect?
No way.
Wanda in Canada.
Hi, Wanda. What's wrong with you, Morgan? Hello. Tell us a couple things.
In what way?
She's perfect.
She's perfect.
Oh, no.
Donna's
I'm not guilty
offense.
Of that.
In my eyes, you're perfect.
Well, that's very kind, but...
You know, the key to all
whatever
this
you see in somebody else is actually a reflection of yourself.
That's right. And we're rambling around here, and we should start our call. Luckily, I didn't start the tape recorder, so we didn't catch all this crazy stuff. And I'll start the tape recorder. Hi, everybody out there in BBS land, listening on the Internet. We love you. We know you're there. We even know those of you that are shy in the background are there, and we love you especially. Hey, Marilyn, do you have anything to say to anyone that's shy and in the background? Since you have never been shy and in the background, okay?
Who are you talking to?
Marilyn Kowalski.
Oh, the other sweetheart.
Marilyn, are you there? And she's getting mad at me. She's going to send me 10 emails telling me, when you embarrassed me. All right. I guess, okay, here we go. I'm muting everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, we are muted. Now I got to turn off the chimes so we don't get all these chimes. Okay, hang on. Okay, our chimes are off.
You muted yourself.
Wint, we can't hear you. Wint, you muted yourself. We can't hear you, Wint. I'll go get him.
Hello?
Hi. Are you back?
I'm back. Great.
Okay.
God, they were getting back at me for making fun of you.
I know.
I got your picture up.
Somehow I pushed my mute button. Now, did we hear Ariel on the line? Let's see if she's there.
All callers are unmuted.
Ariel, are you there? Hello, Ariel.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Ariel has to stand in the cold in order to get a phone signal. So she probably deferred. All right. Okay, now we can start. Terry, I got to be serious now. Hang on.
This conference is being recorded.
This is December 29th, 2014. Winfrey in Sedona, Terry Brown in Sedona. And Heis is not here today. So I tried to do it as good a job as he did, but I think he does a better job than me. And he'll be back Wednesday, I hope. And Chris, I see you're on the line, and special love and blessings to you. Come on now, open up to that energy. Right now, open up, feel it. Let's send the energy to Chris Blair. He's going through a lot of personal issues, health issues, and I'll send him some love. And this particular call is under the grouping of cultures of how the Elohim created the universe. And for any of you that are new to our calls, if you go to thespiritchannel.net, thespiritchannel, all one word, .net, you'll do a search on how the Elohim created the universe. You'll find our previous calls on this particular topic. And we have talked with them. Well, just to give you like a quick intro, it's like originally there was an awareness. And the awareness is called now the one infinite creator. And the awareness learned that it could subdivide itself and it could become multiples. And the original subdivisions kept subdividing. And there were like millions of subdivisions of awareness. And they were all pure energy. There was no such thing as physical universe. There was no such thing as material. And they had the idea that, boy, it would be nice if we could create persistence. Because when everything is just energy, there's no persistence. Nothing lasts. Everything is just thought that goes away, thought that goes away. And so they worked projecting frequencies and energies as a team. And you're not going to understand this. I could ask this question a number of times, and I still am absorbing the answer. But I kind of begin to intuitively get it, that it would be one way of dumbing it down. This is a dumb down, okay? Imagine if you could think of something and it existed. Just as long as you thought of it. But as soon as you stopped thinking about it, it didn't exist. And then if two people were thinking about the same thing and it started to exist, then one person could take a break and the other person would keep thinking about it. And then that person could come back and the other person could take a break. Of course, they didn't have to go to the bathroom because they didn't have bodies, but they didn't have to sit there and maintain the vision. And so now you get enough beings thinking of something and creating it. And each one is thinking about it a little bit. And before you know it, it has persistence because the energies of all those beings are keeping it going. Now, that's a very, very rough idea of the beginning of the universe. And it's more complicated than that. And they're spinning off galaxies and planets and amoebas. And the Elohim, as they've explained it to me, and I say, you don't have to believe any of this, just take it into consideration. But as they've explained it to me, the universe, everything they created in the universe was given free will. So it created, it had a consciousness, and it could create as well in its sphere of influence. And so there's subsets and subsets and subsets of creation, and each one is creating its own set of rules. You know, it'd be like a family where parents bring up the children. The parents ultimately decide, usually, unless their country has taken away their free will, they usually decide how they're going to bring up their children and what they're going to do. And they don't really want their children to be slaves, at least maybe that's not true. Maybe some do. But most parents don't want their children to be slaves. They want their children to have a good life. They want to bring them up, and then they want to release them so they can experience their own ability to create, and then they'll have children. And in the best of all worlds, everything lives happily ever after, except we're not in the best of all worlds because this whole process got screwed up a little bit because of the free will aspect. Because what happened was, as beings started to get created and existing, in the physical world, there was an aspect that was very different than in the metaphysical, in the spirit world. Because in the spirit world, there's no possessions, and you don't need things, at least, to function. You're a spirit, you're an energy being. Now, in the physical world, we need things. And the need for material things is one of the things that caused people, beings in this realm, to lose the connection that they were all part of each other. And they started seeing each other as separate. And that this is something someone I can get something out of. And that became the beginning of a lot of distorted corruption, hurt, you know, secret societies, how to control this realm, how to be on top, how to be the most powerful being in the realm. And the whole idea that we're all part of each other, that we're our brother's keeper, that got somewhat lost in the shuffle. And the Elohim kind of looks at all of this and watches it somewhat like looking at an aquarium. And I don't think they really enjoy all the ways that people suffer in this realm. I'm sure they don't. But they have the criteria of honoring free will. So for someone to get their help, you have to ask. And then you have to meet certain criteria. Like the criteria are, can you receive the frequency? So the reason we do so many of these calls is because their frequency is on the call. And the people that keep listening start tuning in to their frequency, and then things happen in your life that are different than things that happened prior to that. And you start to see the love in other people. You start to see the law of one in action. You start to experience it. The law of one means that we're all the same energy. But that's just words. It's only significant when you can see and feel the one energy that everyone is part of. So on that note, we're going to go into a certain aspect of creation that I don't think I've touched on before today. And I don't know where we're going to go. These are all kind of, all of our calls are seed of the past. And so just hang in and we'll see what happens. And Terry, you're not ready, right?
No. No, but we better start.
All callers are muted.
We better start?
Yeah. Okay. It's what, before I fall asleep here.
Are you tired today?
Yeah, a little bit tired.
No,
but,
I'm not.
We'll see how it goes. Go ahead.
I'm not boring you, am I?
No, I was trying to go into trance here.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry and myself. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an. And today is the 29th of December, 2014. And we are with you and anxious to answer your questions. We were listening at the start, and we see that we and some of the members of our group led the way towards creation of Manifest Realm. However, when we got the idea and the hang of it, then many more decided that they wanted to try it, and creation spread out among many as many came into manifest form. Do you have questions? Do you have questions?
Oh, yes. When you said many, do you mean other than the Elohim group?
We did not at the time distinguish us as a group of Elohim. We distinguished us as a group of sort of leaders, masters that were mastering the technique of creation in manifest form, considering manifest form even being a focalized spirit. We were very happy. We were very proud of ourselves for being able to achieve this phenomena and learn how to do it.
Now, you didn't really know how it was going to turn out. You created it, and then it would have its own evolutionary track, trajectory, but you would still interface with it while it was on its own trajectory, so you could contribute to the trajectory.
As we saw and see that it can use our help, we do. However, we recognize free will in the process.
Yeah. Now, this might sound like a silly question, but before you started doing this creation of the manifest realm, and there were a bunch of you, how did you entertain yourself? How did your time pass? There had to be time of some sort. So, is that a dumb question? There we go, I asked it. See what...
We feel that there are no dumb questions.
Okay.
We're entertaining ourselves, if you call it that, with the joy of creating. When we created something, it brought us joy. We look at entertainment as being of a lower level, but this was a very high level that all absorbed us in the process of manifestation.
Now, we've gone through a lot of previous sessions where we talked about spinning energies and boxes and frequencies, and I don't want to go over that, but somehow we have galaxies and we have planets, and then I remember in one of the early sessions the first life form was an amoeba, and you were describing your joy as the amoeba duplicated itself in the physical, right?
Right.
Yeah.
We consider this a lower level of our creation as a higher level.
Now, somehow we went from things moved from amoebas to life forms. Well, amoeba is a life form, but to animals, to grass, to trees. And was the Elohim able to do this creation while staying in the celestial realms? Or did some of the Elohim representatives somehow come to Earth and work directly in this realm while it was creating?
We looked at galaxies rather than planets. We were manifesting galaxies, and we were observing the results of spinningness and the localizing of consciousness through the focus that is brought about by spinning. We were dealing more with galaxies, which did not seem big to us. They seemed small, and we looked at them much as one might look at a reactor set, only it was pulsating, and it was glowing, and it was alive, and consciousness became localized in it and centered on the galaxy, and then sub-spinningnesses within it. We discovered we could spin off within it sub-galaxies, sub-spinning solar systems, and we would spin them off within it and observe the results.
Now, the galaxy was a consciousness, correct?
Yes.
And the galaxy could think. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so when you were doing sub-galaxies or solar systems, were you working with the galaxy and it was creating as well with you?
We were making disturbances within the main spinningness, and then we were observing the results.
Mm-hmm.
Then the main consciousness would be broken into subconsciousnesses, and the subconsciousness is broken into even further down consciousnesses.
So as life forms started to create itself, like everything was alive, so, I mean, DNA-based life forms, was this a creation of the, you know, in the raw material, they call it the logi, the logos, the logi, the sub-logi, the sub-sub-logi, and everything is creating. So did, for example, the solar systems create the circumstance for DNA-oriented life in the solar system?
Yes, that is correct.
So the Elohim didn't create that directly, okay?
It was a sub, loci that
yes.
created within its own sphere.
Yes. And then everything is creating the level below it and the level below it. And eventually you have plants, you have things organically coming up that are alive, and they're getting their life energy from the source that created it, which would have been the solar system, or the planet, or the galaxy. Is that
or the result of all of the forces that have eventually been brought to bear on it.
Mm-hmm. So for a life form to create itself, say, let's say, on the planet Earth, all of the intermediary sub-logi, logi, et cetera, their frequencies would all be part of this life form. And there had to be some kind of cooperation for it to come together amongst with the universe. Is that said somewhat close?
It was as if what was created by the spinningness dictated the result. The forces that come together dictate the result that is achieved.
Could you predict what the results would be, or were there so many influences that it was a creation that would surprise you as well?
There was not time lag as you consider it, so that as it happened, it was a state of wonder in viewing the creation. It was not so much, there was some of it. We wonder what would happen if we did so-and-so, but the results were so instantaneous that we did not sit back and have to wonder very long what was going to be the result, as the result began to manifest immediately when the forces were brought together in certain ways.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I think it's hard for us to understand is that where you are, time does not exist in any way like it exists for us. So for us, where we would look at time in this realm and say it took a million years, to you, a million years is like a fleeting ta-da. Am I right when I say that?
When we look at it from your vantage and move into your sphere, it seems as if time moves on, taking forever. Everything is very, very slow in your realm because it takes time for everything to get the message. When in our realm, thought is very more close to affecting itself, affecting the result without a big time delay. In your realm, the cells of the body take time to get the message. So a thought has to be processed by the third density and takes time for everything to coordinate and get the message. That's one of the frustrations of being in the third density, is the time lag between a thought and the fulfillment of the thought. The thought begins to act instantaneously. However, the elements of the third density take a while to catch the flame of it.
Okay, so the third density, there's the third density, there's the fourth density, there's the fifth density. If we were spreading it out, did the higher densities come first and then the lower densities kind of came in underneath them and then the lower densities came in? Did it work that way?
It was all manifested as a result of the primary motion. And so some of the densities, the higher densities, are backup in a way for the lower densities as the gelling of the forces occur more and more deep at a deeper level, the deeper you go into the densities, into the third density. It is like a science experiment where you add different chemicals and put them in a liquid and different layers manifest out of that so that there is a layer at the top and a separate layer down below and a separate layer down below. This similar.
In the Edgar Cayce materials, he didn't use the word Elohim. He used the word logos, and I believe he was referring to the same idea. And he said that some of the higher, what I'll call the Elohim, would occupy some of the animals that were developing in this realm. And initially they could go back and forth. I believe Edgar Cayce said that. But when they had the experience of sex through that animal, and I don't know if it was an animal or if it was a human body, but when they had the experience of sex, they would get caught in this realm and they wouldn't be able to go back. Could you make any comment on that?
We would not call them the... There are different levels. When one was of a spirit form, more localized spirit form, in one of the lower condensations, such as the heaven plane, then they have an opportunity to take a body and to go into a body. And the body would become very attractive as something that they would like to keep going back to in the hopes of fulfilling it themselves, in the hopes that eventually they would gain wisdom over death and how to keep the body going. And this trip, they would succeed in overcoming the difficulties of the third density. So they would come in and tend to wish to keep being reincarnated. These individuals had already become of a lower vibration than the etheric Elohim. As the etheric Elohim did not even descend into the etheric bodies that would then move into a certain density body. The etheric Elohim would have to go through a process of becoming at a lower density before they would be able to take a body and move into the third density. That is a comment.
So they would have to step themselves down, and then they would have to step themselves down further. Finally,
that is correct. That is correct.
Would they occupy an already existing body, or would they create, would they come into a new fetus? How does it work?
Generally, they would come into a new fetus. However, there are instances of them coming into an existing body. However, according to the law of free will, there would have to be some desire on the part of the person to have the other entity come in. There are exceptions where, for instance, in nuclear explosions, where force resets individuals to the same time, and then they get very confused as to their identity and lose their independent ability to operate. This is another topic.
So when the Elohim would come in, let's say through a fetus, and they'd be born in this realm, I assume they would forget where they came from.
Yes. When we would call them step-down Elohim, if you prefer to call them Elohim at all, but when they move into a fetus, they take on all of the body cellular functions, the genetic memory, and this obfuscates the more etheric knowledge of where they have been.
And when the Elohim, we'll call them Elohim in a body, when they did that, okay, then they would impact the DNA of the body they occupied, because they had a template that was advanced for this realm, and that particular being would grow up and be more advanced than the other beings in this realm. Is that accurate?
It is. Not specific to Elohim, it is specific to any advanced being who takes a body in the third density.
Yeah. And so this is where, this is where there'd be a temptation to service the self, because they're an advanced being in a body, and the body is developing according to some of the DNA imprint from the advanced being. And so if they chose to, they could have power over other people.
They're somewhat governed by the genetic line, the genetic entity, and the genetics of the body somewhat dictate the format that the individual will carry out, and this is further enhanced by the parents who have the same genetic line.
Right. Now, I have the idea, and of course, we know that there's numerous people that have passed through our awareness in our group who are the reincarnation of someone who always look like someone, okay, the person they're the reincarnation of. And it seems to me fairly obvious it's because the DNA holds in the soul matrix, and when the soul comes in to occupy a body, it programs the DNA of the body with the past lifetime. Do you agree with that? Is that fairly accurate?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Now, when the Elohim soul comes in through the realms, does it have DNA, or does it develop DNA in the etheric before it comes into the body?
It gets the memory of the DNA as it manifests the body. It develops the manifestations of the body and memorizes them. And one of them is the spins of the DNA.
Mm-hmm. And I'm aware that there are certain souls that are Elohim souls. Well, if we go back, you know, into ancient times, ancient and beyond ancient, that it seemed there were periods of time when there was cooperation and co-creation between you, celestial Elohim, and some of the physicalized bodies that were Elohim souls in this realm. Can you confirm that? Is that accurate?
Yes, we would have a certain group, say, that decided that they would go down and take bodies, and they would do the step-down processes needed, and then they would express the life down there. It was much like experiment or a geologist deciding to go down and explore a lot of geological formations and then come back with the knowledge. However, they tended to take on the aspects of the terrain that they were descending into, and sometimes with surprising results, and they would spin off into their own particular series of lifetimes without any memory of who they had been.
So how did the celestial Elohim make contact with the Elohim that had descended into this realm so they could actually work together?
We would work with them in the best way possible. Sometimes we were able to maintain contact. Other times we would totally lose contact. And so this is one of the reasons we are so joyous at your group and each person in your group that is open to investigating this. There is a whole legacy here that is available. It is written in the Akashic Record. If one can, one, after they pass on, go to the heavenly realm, they can begin to read about it in the library. And it is available. The knowledge is intense and is available. It makes us sometimes sad when we see someone who has been so bright, a star, and then they get amnesia as to who they have been. But we stand available for assistance to those that you remember or ask.
Thank you. Well, I could go on for another few hours, and our time is up. And would you like to say anything to the group before we close this session? And those of you that are listening, just remember, if you like what kind of things we're talking about, and it seems like it evolves, we get deeper as we go, even when we cover the same subject, go into our archives, thespiritchannel.net, and look up How the Elohim Created the Universe. And would you like to have any closing comments?
We give our profound thanks for each and every one of you. It is a sacred moment in time when we are able to make connection with those of you who are interested in open searching, seeking, wanting more knowledge, are there, those that can feel the resonance, those that even are sensitive and can see the resultant pink color when we interface with you who wish to be interfaced with. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here, and we'll adjourn this call, and we wish everybody, if they're not on our Wednesday call, a Happy New Year. Here we're going to have another call on New Year's Eve, and I think we will take questions this Wednesday. We're not going to do what we did in Christmas Eve, and I'll unmute everybody and say goodbye.
All callers are unmuted.
Happy New Year, everybody.
And I win.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Happy New Year, one and all. Happy New Year.
God bless.
To you all.
Great year.
Lots of love.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Love to
you
all.
Thank you, guys.
Be well.
Happy New Year, Wynn.